blessed us with. So thank you. Thank you for that. But anyway, we're in Psalm 107, and there actually is going to be one more song we're going to sing here in a minute. You're actually going to help me sing my outline. And so my outline is a song today. And so you're not going to have to sing it solo. It'll be group effort. Amen. But it'll be a while before we get there. My introduction is actually longer than my sermon today. And so we'll do the whole introduction, and then I'll pass out or have some guys help me pass out my outline, which is a chorus. We'll sing it, and then I'll do the points. And like I said, we'll just go over those points real quick. But we're in Psalm 107, and the chorus that we're going to sing together, and some of you may have sung it, but it's entitled, "Oh, It Is Wonderful to Be a Christian." Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. And some of you are like, oh, okay, I can sing that. And some of you are like, never heard it. But anyway, you will in just a minute. But that's the title of my sermon today. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. And of course, that ought to be our mindset. If you were in Sunday school, it is definitely God's mindset for us to have that mindset. That it's wonderful. We saw that God is good. And I told the fellows in our Sunday school class, I went to a church in Georgia one time, and the pastor come to the pulpit, and he said, "God is good." And I was like, okay, that's good. But the congregation screamed back at him, all at one time, "All the time." And I was like, ooh. And then he said, "All the time," and they screamed, "God is good." And so, "God is good all the time, God is good," is what they said. And I think they did that every service. But anyway, that should be our mindset, that God is good, and that it's wonderful to be a Christian. The devil wants you to think, well, I've got to go to church today, where it should be, I get to go to church today. I've got to be a good example and not say those words. No, we ought to want to be a good example and live like a Christian. And we saw in our Sunday school lesson that God wants us to go about like Jesus did, go about doing good. And if we can have that mindset that it's wonderful to be a Christian, it's not a job, it's not a punishment, it's not a have to. It is just wonderful to be a Christian, even in 2024. I get it. You go out there in this world today, and there's some funny looking things going on out there. Amen. And so forth. And there's some wicked stuff that's going on out there, and so forth. But God said, for such a time as this, so He left us here in 2024, and He wants us to have a mindset that it's wonderful to be a Christian in 2024. It's wonderful to be a Christian in Kentucky. It's wonderful to be a Christian wherever you work. And you're like, ooh, it's hard. But it's wonderful to be a Christian. And we're going to look at my 3 points or 4 points in the introduction here is we're going to see God's desire. Then we're going to see God's command. We're going to see God's act. And then that's what we're going to see for our sermon on number 4. But let's look at Psalm 107. And we're going to look right here. Let's look at verse 8 first. Because this will get us kicked off, and then we'll look at something. This is God's desire. Verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. So God's desire, number one here in the introduction, is that we praise God. This morning there was some praising going on in the prayer request time here in the men's Sunday school class. Some people said, we've been praying for this person, and they're cancer-free. And there was some amens and some praise the Lords. And then there were some things that, these people were in this situation, but God kept them safe. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what it says here in verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. And so God wants us to. Tomorrow when you're at work, there's going to be people praising themselves. I did this weekend, and I accomplished this. And I built this, and I fixed that. And they're going to be praising themselves. And then there's going to be some people praising sin. Man, I got wasted. Or I don't even remember this weekend. What's that to brag about? But they're going to be bragging about just sin. And so I know, if you grab your porta pulpit and go from, cubicle to cubicle or station to station or aisle to aisle, you could get fired. But if they can say, praise me, I did this, and praise this sin, it was awesome. I can't remember what it was, but it was awesome. Why can't we say, praise God? I went to church, and we sung about the grace of God, and we sung about the mercy of God, and we sung about the victory that God has given us, and we sung, praise God. And that's what God says here in verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. And it shouldn't be hard, because it says here, for the goodness. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. God is good. I'm alive. I'm not perfect, obviously. And I figured I'd get a lot of amens there, but I'm not perfectly healthy, things like that. But you know, God's good, and so I want to praise the Lord. He's good, and then it says here, His wonderful works. I think it's wonderful that this church building's sitting right here on this property. That's God's works, and I think it's wonderful that we can all come in here and praise God as a seed. All right, and I think that's wonderful. And I think it was wonderful a while ago when we were all singing the hymns of the faith. I think that's wonderful. And I think it's wonderful that I will stop eventually and we'll all even go get lunch and maybe a nap. I think all that's wonderful. And so we ought to praise God. And so we're going to look real quickly at this whole chapter or this whole psalm. And we've seen God's desire. God's desire is that we would praise Him. And we won't take time to read them all, but if you looked at verse 17 or 15, it says the exact same thing as verse 8. And if you skip down to 21, it says the exact same thing as verse 8 and verse 15. And if you skip down to 31, it says the exact same thing, that 8, 15, 21. So we've all heard it. If God says it one time, He means it. It's true. God says it right here in this chapter four times. Oh, get the mindset. Oh, if you would just realize how awesome God is. All right? We would praise the Lord. So God's desire is that men would praise the Lord. For what? For His goodness. And for what? For His wonderful works. I still have been telling the story of a couple Sundays ago when Brother Cooper was here. And he preached, "Are you saved?" All right? It's wonderful that I could say yes. And now it's even more wonderful because there were four or five that could say yes again, that they got saved. And so we can talk about God's wonderful works. We ought to be able to praise Him. And God's desire is that we would do it. The devil's going to say, shh, people are going to think you're weirdo. Think what you want to. I'm going to praise God. All right? You might offend. Well, it offends me that they talk about their sin. And it offends me that they talk about this. But they have a right for that. So I'm not going to say anything. But it ought not offend them that we praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works. So, that was His desire. Number two, we're going to see His command, and we'll go back to verse 1 for that. Verse 1 says here, here's God's command. He wants us to in 8, 15, 21, and 31. He wants us to, but He commands us to in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And again, I have used up a lot of it. I've needed His mercy. But there's another psalm that just like, oh, that men would praise the Lord, there's another psalm that ends, that His mercy endureth forever. And you read another verse, and at the end of that verse, and His mercy endureth forever. So if God says it over and over, He's obviously meaning it. So He wants us to give thanks for that. Verse 2, it says here, let the redeemed, are you saved? Yes. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we ought to give God, oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. We ought to give God praise for His goodness and His mercy. But then He tells us, hey, if you're saved, tell people that you're saved. I am a Christian. It should be a badge of honor. You know, some people say, I'm a this fan. And you can tell by their shirt, their shoes, their hat, maybe even their undergarments. I don't know. All right, but they're through and through this type of fan. And they're not ashamed of it. And they're going to let you. You want to come up here on the platform, Brother Ty? All right. He's wearing UK right there. Proud of it. All right. And so, same thing. We ought not be ashamed that we're a Christian. We ought to be, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God has saved me out of the devil's hand and kept me from going to hell. And He's also saved me out of His hand and messing up time and time again. So He deserves the praise. And so it goes on to say, we'll skip down, we won't read all of it, but let's skip down to verse, 31. Look at 31. And so it says here also in verse 31, I'll find it here just a second. There we go. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works. And it says here, to the children of men. And so we are saved. His works are to us, and we ought to exalt Him in the congregation. And so we ought to brag on God at church. We ought to brag on God at our home. We ought to brag on God in our workplace. We ought to brag on God everywhere. And that's His command. Then let's look now. We saw His desire. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. His command. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Now we're going to see His acts. He says, okay, if you will, it's not just a feel-good thing. I'm going to do some things. I will, I guess, reward you for that. If you praise me, I've got your back. If you praise me, I'm going to lift you up. If you praise me, I'm going to do all these things. So we're going to look real quick at these verses. Look at verse 6. He's like, look, if you'll praise me, if you'll say, hey, it is wonderful to be a Christian, what I'm going to do, I'm going to deliver them out of their distresses. Hey, the way to get out of the doldrums, the way to get out of, I preached a sermon called The Mully Grubs, the way to get out of depression and things like that is just start praising the Lord. I could get depressed about this situation. I don't understand this situation. I would not have picked this situation, but I'm just going to praise God that He's in control. I'm going to praise God that He has the ability to get me out of it. I'm going to praise God that this too shall pass. So I'm just going to start praising God. And it says here, He delivered them out of their distresses. Well, you know, how'd you get out? We probably wouldn't say, I praised my way out. We'd probably just praise God for delivering us. And so again, we see here, He delivered them out of their sin. Look at the next verse, verse 7. It says here, He led them forth by the right way. And so not only did He deliver them out, He didn't just deliver them out and say, okay, see you, high five, I'm out. No, He stayed right there with them and directed their steps and guided them in the right way. And so if we praise God and say, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian, like we're commanded to, He's like, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to lead you. Look at verse 9. It says here, He satisfieth the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. So again, these people were praising God, and He's like, because you're praising me, I'm going to deliver you. Because you're praising me, I'm going to lead you in the way. And because you're praising me, I'm going to satisfy that longing soul. There's things that we long for, but God can give it to us. So they went through verses 1 through 9. Everything was hunky-dory. They were praising God. But like we all do, I can't blame them. We can't blame Adam and Eve. We'd all done the same thing. We get down to verse 11 and it says they rebelled. They rebelled. And how often, I know I've been this way. I've been on the highest cloud and praising God. Everything's wonderful. Man, this is awesome. And then something happened and I rebel at it. Or my flesh gets the best of me and I rebel at something. And you would think God was like, all right, I gave you your one chance. You're out. You were praising me, but you rebelled, so sorry. See you later. But that verse says, hey, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Why? Because all we have to do is 1 John 1:9, and it's taken care of again. And that's what they did. It says here in verse 13, because I'm sure between verses 11 and verse 13, some stuff got sideways. It started going wrong. And you can look at verse 12. It says, "And He brought their heart, or He brought down their heart." Here they were praising the Lord. Everything was hunky dory. Everything was great. They rebelled, got in the flesh, did something they shouldn't have done, and God smote their heart. And again, I mean, you would think, "Oh, it's over. I've messed it up. I've blown it." And so, but verse 13 says here, they cried and prayed. In the second part of verse 13, it says here, and He saved them out of their distresses. I think I've heard this before. So we ought to praise God because everything will be going great. We'll be praising Him, and we're going to mess up somehow. We're going to find a way to goof. And but if we just cry unto the Lord and say, God, I blew it again. I'm sorry. I don't deserve You to forgive me this time. I know I've asked You time and time again. But it's me again, O Lord. I've blown it. You know what He does? Verse 13, it says here, He saved them out of their distresses. It's all right. I love You. I forgive You. It's okay. And then what we start doing is, man, it's awesome. It's wonderful to be a Christian. And here we go again. In verse 14, it says here, and He brought them out of the darkness. They were doing great. They rebelled. They prayed. He brought them out. He brought them out of the darkness. In verse 19, skip on there. He said they had to pray again. They had goofed again. And then verse 19 says, and they cried and prayed. And verse 20 says here, and He sent His word and healed them. So, the Christian life, they say, the Christian life is like a roller coaster. I mean, you'll be climbing and climbing and climbing, and you go over that top, and it's, whoa, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Then all of a sudden, maybe you go upside down, or you go backwards and things like that, and you're like, I don't know about this. It's a roller coaster. It's ups, it's downs, it's mountain peaks, it's valleys. And we see it coming to fruition right here. So let's skip to verse 25. And He commanded them and raised the storm wind. So they were praising God. They rebelled. They got right with God. They were praising God again. And then now we see here that God's brought something into their life. It may not have been because they rebelled. It may not have been because they were done anything wrong. God just allowed the storm to come. Because sometimes we'll say, God, what am I doing wrong? And He doesn't say anything. You don't feel anything in your heart. You don't feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You don't. What's going on? And the devil's just obviously sucking the life out of you and depressing you. And you're not saying it's wonderful to be a Christian because God's allowed a storm to come. So He allowed this storm to come. And so I said this in Sunday school to the men. That if something's happening in your life, it's either a spanking or it's a test. And so that's what God's done. He allowed this storm to come. It may have been a spanking. It could have been a test. But sometimes that storm comes and He likes to save people out of storm. How many times in the Bible do you read that some came to the shore on broken pieces? And God said, peace be still to the wind. He has the ability to stop that storm, but He also has the ability to allow that storm. So we see that God is in control of it. And you can come through on the other side because of His mercy. He will comfort you through it. He will give you strength through it. Verse 26 says here, mount up, they go down, their soul is melted. So obviously now He's brought them through a storm. And some things have taken place. And then verse 27 it says here, they reel to and fro. They stagger like a drunken man. And they are at their wits' end. So now, obviously, with this situation, God has allowed this storm to come. Now, it's hard to do like, you know, you get saved or God forgives you for rebelling. And you're emotional about it. And you're excited about it. And you feel that forgiveness and you're verbal with it. But sometimes when you're going through the storm and you're like, I trust God. He's given me the strength. He's going to bring me through the other side. I get it. I'm to my wit's end. I don't know what to do. In verse 28, it says, and they cried. In other words, they prayed again. God, I know You're in control. You've allowed this storm to come. I need Your help. And verse 28 says here, He bringeth them out of their distresses. Does that sound familiar? I think three times now, He's brought them out of their distresses. And so now there again, that was a tough storm. And I learned, obviously, to trust God. And I learned that God is in control. And I learned His mercies are new every morning. I learned about His comfort. So praise the Lord, not for the storm, but for the God of the storm that brought me through the storm. Praise the Lord from that. He brought them out of their distresses. It says in verse 29, and He maketh the storm a calm. So He's the one that can cause that wind to go. He's the one that can calm that storm down. So, it is wonderful to be a Christian because we know that fact. That if it's a storm, God allowed it. He's going to help us. He's going to guide us through it. He's going to protect us. And He also can calm it down one day. So, verse 30, it says here, they are glad. They are glad that they've learned this. That He kept them calm. That He comforted them. Verse 33, it says here, and He turneth the rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground. Oh no, He brought us through that storm, and now here's a dry time. But look what verse 35 says. Then, says here, He turneth the wilderness into standing water, and the dry ground into water springs. So according to this verse, it is wonderful to be a Christian because we have a God can do what He wants, when He wants, where He wants, and to whom He wants. And so it's wonderful to be a Christian. And we ought to realize that. Verse 35, it says here, and He blessed them. I don't know of anybody in this room that can't say, God's blessed me in some way or another. If you're saved, He's definitely blessed you. Right, if you're alive, He's blessing you. If you've got a family, He's blessing you. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. And we ought to be able to say, hey, it is wonderful to be a Christian. So we saw God's desire. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. His command. Oh, give thanks. And we saw His acts. And then lastly, we're going to see His goal. Why is He doing this? And then we'll sing my outline in a second. Why is He doing this? You don't have to turn there, but we'll look. It says here, for us to share His desire and His commandments and His acts. That's why He does this. He's like, I want you to know me so you can share that. I want you to follow my commands so you can share that. I want you to see that I'll deliver you through all these acts. Why? So you can share that. So it's His goal because He said, hey, I want men to praise God. Well, why? Because I said so. Well, why? Because look at all I've done. Well, why? So you can tell others. I'm going to read you a few verses. Psalm 78:4 says this. We will not hide them. Them talking about those commandments. We will not hide them talking about those acts. We'll not hide them from their children. Showing the generation to come the praise of the Lord and His strength and His wilderness or His wonderful works that He has done. I was told this as a young preacher, if you want to call it, a young person in the ministry. Okay? Nothing wrong with letting your kids see that you have needs, but let them see you pray for those needs. But then when God gives them and provides, you better let them see that too. Because, you know, if you go around, man, being a preacher, I'm poor, I don't have anything, it's blah, 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 this, grapping about this, man. And you think your kid's like, yeah, I want to be a preacher. Sunday school, man, blah, blah, I got to teach, I got to study, and I got to, you know, go buy some donuts, and I got to this, and I got to that. I want to be a Sunday school teacher. No, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Same thing, we go through life. I had to go to church yesterday. Most boring thing I've ever been to in my life. And, they expect me to give money. And they expect me to... why would anybody want that? So it's wonderful. And that's what He said in verse 78. Hey, you don't keep it from your kids when God does something. When God does something amazing, share it with your kids. Again, tell them, say, we need to pray for this. We have this need. And God may allow that storm to come so you would have that need, so you could pray for it, so your kids could see it and see that it's wonderful to be a Christian when God provides it. That's why He does it. And it says here, hey, don't hold them from the kids. Don't stop sharing it with the next generation. What? His wonderful works. Deuteronomy 6:7. And thou shalt teach them, what? Them. Them commandments. Them acts. all the things that God's teach them diligently. Not just when you get around to it. Not just ho-hum. No, teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest at the house or in thy house. So when you're sitting around, you know, maybe put the phones up. Maybe turn the TV off every once in a while. Right? And talk of them. How good God is. It says here, and when thou walkest by the way. Hopefully you're driving, by the way, these days, all right? And you know, you didn't have Shoe Leather Express like they did, but you have a vehicle that has AC. But you can still talk about how wonderful God is. That might even be something to talk about. Kids, you remember back in the Bible times? I mean, they walked in those sandals. People had to wash their feet. All right? That convenience store there was a bucket with some water in it where you could wash somebody's feet. Ugh. All right. Today we have cars. We have gas stations. Praise God for advancement. Or we walk, you know, set behind this horse rear end. Yeehaw, that's a nice place. You know, we have stuff hanging in our trucks, you know, air fresheners. I wonder if anything was ever hanging on that horse's tail. Praise God. Talk about them. That, you know, when you're in the house, when you're sitting down, when you're walking, by the way, and then it says here, when thou liest down. Let's say our prayers. Let's thank God. When thou risest up, hey, let's pray and ask God to help us. We ought to say it's wonderful to be a Christian to our kids, to the next generation. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, which is able to be able to teach others also. This is God's goal, that men ought to praise the Lord. Why? So their kids will hear it. So the next generation will hear it. So they can learn that and they can start doing it. Why? So the next generation and their kids and so on and so forth. So it ought to be wonderful to be a Christian. That's God's goal. It's for you to say it's wonderful, and this person to realize it is wonderful, and so on and so forth. So there are many ways to learn the things that we're supposed to. We're supposed to study. It helps you to share things sometimes, because usually you're prepared to share. So you've studied, you've shared it, you've shown it by living it, and you sing it. Amen. The Bible says that He has put a new song in my heart. Brother Harris, can you come pass out on one side? And Brother Bill, you want to pass out on your side? Here's my outline. We're going to sing it here. Miss Stanley, if you can come to the piano. I'll keep reading a couple verses. The Lord is my strength and my shield, and my heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart will greatly rejoice, and with my song, I will praise Him. I believe Miss Alicia meant every word she sang this morning. All right? And there's some songs that I have a hard time singing. Why? Because I'll do this when I start singing them. Because they ought to mean something. That's what David was saying here. Look, the Lord's my strength. I'm going to greatly rejoice. And it says here, and with my song, I will praise Him. Psalm 77:6 says this, I call to remembrance my song. Some of you remember the kids' songs that you sang when you were in junior church. All right. Some of you remember songs that you used to sing before you got saved. And you can hear it and it comes right back. Singing helps us remember. What did we sing this morning? About the mercy of God. All right, about His grace. And we sing it over and over and over. Why? Because it gets us in there. So this is one way to praise the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we're supposed to sing unto Him. Colossians 3:16. Thank you, brother. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So we're singing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts toward the Lord. So, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. And you have it right there, and I'll give you a little definition, and then we'll sing it, and I'll give you the outline. So, oh, it is wonderful. Wonderful basically means, oh, it is exciting. That helps. If you're not excited about something, your kids aren't going to be excited about something. Sometimes they're excited about something, and you're not excited about something. That makes sense. But if you're not excited, they're not going to be excited. So, oh, it is wonderful. Oh, it's exciting. Oh, it is marvelous. Oh, it is astonishing. Blows my mind how good God is. That's what we're saying. Oh, it is supernatural. In other words, this is not my strength. This is not what I've done. This is of God. So, oh, it is wonderful means it's exciting. It's marvelous. It's astonishing. It's supernatural. It's the highest kind of quality. Oh, it is wonderful. In other words, God is the one in charge. God is the one that's allowing. God is the one that's doing. And as it says here, it's a feeling of great surprise. So, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. So I'll sing it once while y'all listen, and then we'll sing it twice together, okay? Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Okay, just a second. All right, so obviously if you saw that, you got to get your breath. You try to say all that, you'll pass out on me, okay? So make sure you fill up. This is a music class, all right? Here we go. Let's sing it together. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. One more time. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Now, obviously, you can keep that, put it in your Bible, sing it, and hopefully tomorrow you'll be working and you'll be... and they'll be like, what are you humming? song we learned in church yesterday. Oh, okay. But just like Amazing Grace, everybody knows that song. Praise God. Right? It's wonderful, Amazing Grace. And there's all kinds of other ones out there. But that's a little chorus. I just like to sing it sometimes driving in my truck. I mean, I'll hold it out, you know, on that, you know, that last forever reconciled. I mean, I'll do that in my truck. And I'm not going to do that in here. I just did. But anyway, but I'll just sing it. Why? Because it's wonderful to be a Christian. And if you're excited about it, it might help other people to be excited about it. So let's look at these 4 points real quick about, oh, it is wonderful. Number one, to be a Christian. I'm going to give you a couple verses. I'm going to have to go through these quickly. But there's three places where the word Christian is used in the Bible. All right, three places. The first one is found in Acts 11:26, the second part. And it says here, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And so, it was so wonderful, their life of being redeemed and their life of following Christ, it was just taken over. It was captivating. They were just talking it nonstop. And so they come up with some type of name. And of course, they were following Christ, and so they was like, okay, they're Christians. Okay? And if I was there that day, I'd have said, I want the t-shirt. I want the hat. I want the little rubber thing to put around my wrist. Why? Because I'm a Christian. And I want to be identified with that. So they were saying, hey, it's wonderful to be... That's fine with me. Okay, now obviously when Christ was getting crucified, some of them were like, I don't know how wonderful this is. I don't know Him. But I would hope that we'd say, hey, I'm one of those guys. And that we ought to look like, act like, talk like, behave like a Christian because we're Christ followers. Acts 26:28 is where the second part, second time it's found there. And this was Paul. And he was talking to Agrippa. Now, obviously, Agrippa was an unsaved king. And Paul, he was telling him. And it wasn't like he was telling him this news for the first time. He'd heard about Paul. He'd heard about what some things that Paul had done. So he had a testimony to back up what he was saying. And he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Why? Because Paul, yeah, he got beat. Paul got put in prison. But he kept singing, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Why? Because he said, it's wonderful because I'm God's child. And I'm forgiven. And I needed a whole lot of that. Right? And so Paul sang it and sang it and sang it. And Agrippa said, almost, Paul. And the other place is found in 1 Peter 4:16. It says here, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So there was people that were put to death and they were happy about it. Because Jesus died for me. So if I have to die for Him, I'm okay with it. Now He wants us to be a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. But we ought to want to be a blessing. So, oh, it is wonderful to follow Christ. Oh, it is wonderful to be like Christ. Oh, it is wonderful to persuade or to talk to people about Christ. Oh, it is wonderful to suffer for Christ's sake. It is wonderful not to be ashamed. Oh, it is wonderful to glorify Him on His behalf. So number one was, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Number two, oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. And again, I'll give you these verses quickly. Ephesians 5:1, it says here, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. When you get saved, you become a child of God. And of course, your child, you'll compare baby pictures. Oh, he looked like his mama. Oh, he looks like his daddy. Oh, it looks like, you know. Anyway, you compare. We're supposed to look. We're supposed to act. We're supposed to be His children. 1 John 3:10. And this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. So in other words, it's going to be obvious. Child of God, child of the devil. You can look. It'll be manifested. And the children of, it says here, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So it ought to be obvious to people that we're a child of God. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And obviously that means daughters as well. Even to them that believeth on His name. So you get saved, God makes you His child. Philippians 2:15. That ye may be blameless. This is how He wants you to live. Blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Without rebuke. Don't get in trouble. In the midst of this crooked and perverse nation, God knew 2024 would be like this. Among them, ye, and here it is, here's our church, ye shine as lights unto the world. We're supposed to be a lighthouse. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Want a couple more under God's child. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I mean, if you could just imagine that. I mean, a holy God saves us sinners and calls us His children. It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be God's child. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Being God's child means we're getting a new body one day. It's not going to be flesh. It's going to be perfect like Jesus, and we're not going to make mistakes anymore. Praise God. It's wonderful to be God's child. Last one, 1 John 4:4. Ye are like little children if you have overcome, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. And again, this obviously those two astound me and ought to astound everybody. But like Paul, this one. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. And here it is. Oh, it is wonderful to be forgiven. I mean, I need it daily. I mean, I need it several times a day. And God freely gives it. It's wonderful. Again, it goes against my grain. It's like if you ever cheated on a test. I know none of y'all ever did this. All right? You know, write the answers down on the desk. And I better not tell the kids how to do this. But anyway. But you get that good grade. And the teacher brags on you. Oh, you made the highest grade in the class. This is way better than you usually do. But it doesn't even feel good. Because you didn't earn it. So that's what forgiveness is. We don't deserve it. So it's hard for us to accept it. You know, we cheated the system. I mean, we don't deserve that forgiveness. So it's hard for us to get it. But if you just accept it and realize that it's new every morning. Anytime you need it, it's right there. I mean, that's astonishing. That blows my mind. But oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You see the bumper stickers, you know, not perfect, just forgiven. That's a wonderful thing. I didn't live a life of no sins. I'm still not. But I have forgiveness right there ready every morning. Psalm 130, verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. God's the one that can forgive. Nobody else can. God can forgive your sins. Ephesians 1:7. In whom ye have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Colossians 1:14. In whom ye have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Of sins. Oh, it is wonderful to be forgiven. I mean, to be God's child, to be a Christian, but to be forgiven. I'll give you three more verses. They don't have the word forgiveness in it, but these verses tell us where our sins are. Okay? You don't have to carry them. You won't have to pay for them. You're not going to give an account for them. Why? Because the Bible says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Again, I can't comprehend it. But you start going east, you'll never get west. That's what God's saying. You won't ever find them. They're under the blood. They're forgiven. Never to be brought up again. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace, and we got it, if we accept it, I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. And here it is. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. So when I see people doing that, you know, these days, that's one of the sports celebrations, they're pointing at their name. But when I see them doing it, I think about my sins. They're back there. God can't see them. He put them back there on purpose because He never wants to see them again. He put them as far as the east is from the west. Oh, it's wonderful to have your sins forgiven. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're behind God's back. Wherever He looks, He doesn't see my sin. Here's another one, Micah 7, 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pondereth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? I can't see, sorry. It says here, He retaineth not His anger. Because God does get upset when you sin. But it says here, He retaineth not His anger. He didn't hold grudges. It says here, He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Verse 19, He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities and wilt cast all their sin into the depths of the sea. Oh, it is wonderful to be forgiven. So we have, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have his sin forgiven. And these last three we'll just go through real quick with one verse each. Redeemed, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone or everyone that hangeth on a tree. He redeemed us. He died in our stead. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed. Here's another one, justified. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We're justified. It's like we just have never sinned. We're justified. And lastly, and forever, forever, forever reconciled, put back together. The verse I'll use today is 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That was His goal. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. If you're reconciled, tell people you're reconciled. If you're justified, tell people you're justified. If you're redeemed, tell people you're redeemed, and that they can be that way as well. Tell people that you're God's child. Tell people that you're a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll come and have an invitation. Let's all stand. I'll pray. Brother Harris will lead us in an invitation song. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I just ask you to continue to drive that little chorus into our hearts and our minds. Lord, help us not only to catch ourselves humming it, help us just go ahead and sing it. Shower's a great place. In the car by yourself's a great place. I think anywhere is a great place because you tell us to praise your name. Well, I just ask you to have your will and way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Altar's open. If you want to come, just praise the Lord to Him. Thank Him for being a child of God. Thank Him for being a Christian. Thank Him for being redeemed.